preparing a successor. The Lord had called Elisha by way of Elijah putting his mantle on Elisha. Elisha accepted, so it was a very willing calling. And so he gave up his old life, and that was symbolized by the killing of the oxen, and gave it to his people to eat, to let them all know, including his family, that this is now my new life, and Elisha had found the purpose of his existence. With that first act of obedience and submission, now comes the preparation. As you know, the preparation is extremely important because without proper preparation for ministry, it is very difficult for us to sustain and be faithful from beginning to the end. We do not want to start a ministry well and then end the ministry miserably. We have seen this happen throughout the study of 1 and 2 Kings. A number of good kings who started very well, but they ended miserably. The most famous of all and the most miserable of all was none other than King Solomon. Because at the end of his 40-year reign, God had to split the nation of Israel into two. When there was only one Israel, at the height of a spirituality that Solomon inherited from King David, how could a king bestowed with wisdom from God, able to write thousands of proverbs, end up so miserably, all because he did not apply the word of God that he knew into his own life and ministry, and he compromised with multiple wives, trusted in his army rather than in the Lord, because he multiplied horses as well, and trusted in his wealth, because he also multiplied gold. All three, God had expressly warned in the book of Deuteronomy that his king must never, never succumb to. He did not listen. And so we need to be very mindful and careful of our preparation so that when we enter into the fray, into the ministry, into the battle, we will be well prepared to finish the race that the Lord has set for us. When we study the preparation of Elisha, hopefully that will help us a little bit more in our own preparation for ministry. Because Elisha ended far better than his master Elijah. Because he completed the race. He did not ask God to take him home before the race was completed. He died a faithful servant of God. So what was his preparation like? He had already been called. And as you can see from the final few chapters of 1 Kings and the first chapter of 2 Kings, those were part and parcel of Elisha's training. How he observed and watched how Elijah served the Lord. What he did throughout. Remembering the fire that came down and consumed the captain and his men who commanded Elijah to accompany them. And because of their disrespect, fire came down from heaven to consume one after another until the third captain, who was much wiser, instead of demanding, he basically pleaded to Elijah to go with him. And Elijah did. All these are part and parcel of Elisha's training. And then in chapter 2, we have the final moment of the passing of the mantle from Elijah to Elisha. So, the testing of the successor is important. The test was for the successor's sake, to find out about himself, what his heart is like. It's very important. We need to know ourselves. And so the way that Elijah did this is revealed to us from verse 1 to verse 8. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel together. So why did Elijah ask him to stay here, not to follow him? And then Elisha said, "No, I will follow." And then the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And then he said, "Yea, I know it. Hold your peace. Keep quiet." And then another test. Elisha was told by Elijah, "Tarry here," that is, at Bethel, "for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." Now we know where these cities are located, right? Jericho was the first city in the days of Joshua that they conquered. And then Bethel and Ai were side by side. Okay, so Bethel was where the golden calf was also located. And now he said, "I'm going to Jericho, you stay here. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And so they came to Jericho together, and then again another group of the sons of prophets that were at Jericho said the same thing to Elisha. "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And then he answered, "Yea, I know. Hold thy peace." And then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, I'm going to go to the river Jordan. As the Lord liveth," Elisha said again, "No, as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And the two went on. Why did he do that to Elisha? Three times. "Don't follow me." Now remember, the training in those days was that the disciple had to remain by the side of the master. That was their manner of training, discipleship. Just like in the New Testament, Timothy and Titus had to seek Paul's permission. "Can we accompany you on your way to your mission trips?" Right, second missionary journey, Timothy requested, the Lord insisted, Paul insisted that he be circumcised because he was not circumcised, having a mother and a grandmother who were Jews. He needed to do that. And Titus need not be circumcised because he was a full-fledged Gentile like us. But they accompanied him, just like Luke, the same thing. They observed, they watched how he slept, how he ate, how he behaved, how he prayed, how he conducted himself. And that was their Bible college training. And to depart, to separate yourself, means you don't want to be a follower anymore. You don't want the person to be your master anymore. And basically, Elijah was saying to Elisha, "You have seen the nature of my ministry all this while. How long, we were not told, right through the period of the battle in the closing chapters of 1 Kings into the first chapter of 2 Kings. How long this period was, we are also not told. But he observed enough and he understood by now the nature of Elijah's ministry. It was very fierce, extremely confrontational, and people get killed. It's dangerous. Are you sure you want to take over my ministry, to put on my mantle? Basically, that was it. And so Elisha needed to know in his heart of hearts that he was serious. He needed to know before he finally was given the ministry, he had to understand that you are entering with your eyes fully open. That's why Elijah gave him three opportunities to change his mind. You don't have to continue. If you were to stay here and do not continue with me, when I go down to Bethel, I understand, I accept. You do not want to follow in my footsteps and be my successor and do the work of the prophet. That's basically it. You and I know when you study the major prophets and the minor prophets, you know their life is literally not their own. And some of the things that the Lord demanded from them was very, very onerous, to say the least. Jeremiah was told, you're not allowed to get married. And some of the things they have to do was basically pretty embarrassing. But that's the life of a prophet. Either you preach the word of God by word of mouth, or sometimes God may ask you to do certain things with your life. Like Hosea, marry a woman who had potentiality to be a prostitute, who would be unfaithful to him, but he had to do so, as the marriage and the naming of his children after during the marriage would be the message to Israel. They had to do all these things as part and parcel of the prophet's life. They are life, they are words, everything about them is a message from God to the people that they are to minister to. It's very hard. It can be extremely lonely and very, very difficult, because you have to fight against kings, priests, prophets, and the whole nation, because you must fear God and God alone. You have to scold anyone and everyone who disobeys the word of God, regardless of who that person is and regardless of what the consequence may be to yourself. It is said that Isaiah was sawn into half at the end of his life. They stuffed him into a log. His body was sawn into two. Traditionally. That's the life. Testing the successor means, you sure you want to be in the ministry? That's basically it. Perseverance is the word, isn't it? Perseverance, stickability. That whatever obstacle, no matter how hard, no matter how harsh, no matter how lonely, even if I have to lose my whole family, I lose my freedom, even if God wants me to give up my life, it's okay. Enter with your eyes open. When you put yourself in the ministry, you put yourself into the front line of the battle. Know that. If you just don't serve, be a paper Christian, just read biographies and read books about the lives of so many of God's faithful servants, and then you can weep and cry in your closet, and then you feel very touched and very moved, you feel very warm in your heart, but you have not done anything, and at the end of it, you feel very good. This is called a very comfortable, theoretical Christianity. Whether you're truly born again is another story, isn't it? But you feel good because you love to read, and you just simply project yourself into the books that you read. And you think that by just simply filling your head and your mind, even your heart, touching stories, you are now very, very pleasing to the Lord. Take a step back and think very carefully. In what way will the Lord be pleased with your life? How much of your life touched a person, another person? Zero. You cloister yourself up from everything. You don't step forward to serve, because you are never in the front line. You're always way, way at the back of the battlefield. When bombs are fired, when arrows are shot out by the evil one, you're way, way at the back. By the time the arrow reaches you, it has no more strength, no more power. It just drops right in front of you. You're never wounded in any way because you just simply took cover. You think that is what God wants you to do? Every one of us has been given at least one spiritual gift. And everywhere you serve, you have to interact with people. Even in the computer ministry where you have very few people to interact with, but you still interact with people. Right? And that requires a lot from you as a person, because you're going to get hurt and you're going to hurt people. Some people may be very slow. You are very efficient and very fast in doing your part of the computer, whatever it is. And because the other person is slow and doesn't match your pace, because his life is not the same as yours. You may have more free time, you may be more efficient, but he may have other responsibilities that are different from yours, may not be as efficient as you are, but he will do his part at his own pace. But without his part being completed, you know the whole ministry cannot go ahead. And so how are you going to approach this? It's not like sitting in a committee where every month you have to deal with a lot of people. Right? You're committee members. You pray together, you serve together. And then you go to pray and plan how the Lord wants you to plan programs, messages, topics to feed the people that God will send into the ministry. And that is a very heavy responsibility. And you must never, never do survey. Don't ask the sheep to lead the shepherd to green pastures. You pray and ask God to show you, Lord, these are your children saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Please show me what topic, what part of God's word, what doctrine from God's word do you want us to feed them with this coming year 2024? Please show us. So prayerfully, all of you, wait upon the Lord, and then at the right meeting, at the right appointed time, you come together, and then you see how God has burdened your heart. And then once you have done that, you pray for the right speaker. Don't just simply pray for any speaker, because if they are given a topic that's beyond their ability, they're going to mess it up, you're going to be upset with them, you're going to be disappointed with them, and then you give them feedback, they don't like it, and the whole thing will end up miserably. It's one thing to have an extremely good, favorable, exciting topic. But if you get the wrong person and he cannot preach it properly, cannot teach it properly, it's a disaster. You know that. Because everyone will sacrifice time to come and listen. So perseverance and stickability is crucial. And he knew, Elisha knew, he's not supposed to depart. And then he had been warned by the prophets who were in these cities. This is the last day, the last moment, the last time for you to quit. You keep on hanging around with this person means you want to take over his ministry. The moment you split, he goes on, you stay where you are. That is a clear message that you've seen enough. It's too difficult. It's too dangerous. I don't want it. So you stay. Let him move on. But the moment you follow him, chance number one, you're going to follow. Second chance to quit, you still follow. This is now the third, Jordan. Are you still going to follow? Both times you've been told, same day, this is it. This is the last and final moment for you to change your mind, Elijah. Are you going to? Perseverance. If you say, yes, I'm going to, don't you dare fail along the way, because once he is gone, you will have to step out of Elijah's shadow. Right now, Elisha, you can do a lot of things that Elijah tells you, and whatever he tells you to do, you do, and if you fail, his neck is on the chopping block, not yours, because you are now serving under his big shadow. And so if people come after Elijah, they come after Elijah, they don't come after you. And if you do what Elijah wants you to do, they still come after Elijah, not you. You feel very comfortable, very safe. But bear in mind, the moment the Lord takes him away, there is no more shadow of Elijah that you serve under. Now you're on your own. And whatever you do now for the Lord, your neck is on the chopping block. Are you prepared, Elisha? Testing the successor. Give him every opportunity to quit right at the last moment, because you have seen enough now. The training is about to be over. You want to continue? Yes or no? We have a few friends in America who graduated with Masters of Divinity who are not in the ministry. They make very, very good leaders in their church. When they become elders, for example, which was what one of them have become, they will probably be the most theologically trained of all the elders. So it is never wasted. It is better to recognize that they are not meant to be in the full-time ministry than to be in the ministry and then become a casualty. Because every one of us in the full-time ministry is literally in the front line of the battlefield by God's appointment. And if God has called you, he will sustain you. And if he has not called you and you put yourself in the position, you are in serious trouble, because you are not given the right spiritual gifts. Then you want to do the work that you are not equipped by God to do. You are going to stumble yourself, and you're going to stumble a lot of people who follow you, because they have not been taught properly by you, because you have not been given the ability to preach and to teach. Because to do that, God has to help you interpret the Bible correctly, and you'll be able to see Scripture in a manner that others would not be able to see, so that you can feed them, teach them, help them, educate them. That's why God gave Elisha final moment all this time. You have observed enough. What are you going to do now? Decide. That's what Elijah intended to do by asking him, I'm going, you stay. Now remember, in their time, disciple, master go everywhere together. To stay means I don't want you to be my master anymore, which means I don't want to be a prophet of God. I've seen enough, Elijah. I don't want it. Perseverance. Do you have perseverance? When God has laid upon your heart to start a ministry, you know starting is easy, isn't it? To sustain it is difficult. If someone were to ask you, you know, can you open your home for a Bible study? Sure. You think carefully first. Don't say sure. Because this Bible study is intended to go on and on and on and on and on and on and on for years to come. Don't say sure. Even if it is once a month, one particular night of the month. But that night, you cannot have your own family thing. You cannot have your own affairs, your own gathering. You lock it once a month, every night, your home will be turned into a meeting place for church members. And if the numbers grow, and if they come with young children, it can be pretty messy at the end of every Bible study. When everyone will say goodbye, you look at the mess, you may have to spend another half an hour or more to do a lot of cleaning. Don't just simply say, yes. Think, pray very carefully. Are you prepared to persevere on? And then the next month, and the next month, and then the next month, and then the next year, and on and on and on and on. Are you prepared? Perseverance. Isn't that what it is? Same in the ministry. You are called to teach the children. Unless one day the Lord made you physically unable to do so. You lose your voice. Your mind is no longer able to concentrate. You do not have the physical strength to stand upright and teach anymore. Fine. That is the Lord's way of telling you, serve in another area that is less physically strenuous. But if you are still healthy and strong, and you've been teaching year after year after year for the next 20 plus years, different children, maybe even the same lesson, will you be just as diligent in your preparation every week when it is your turn to teach? Or are you going to be slothful and lazy? Oh, I've taught this lesson an umpteen times. No need to prepare. And then you go there and all you did is just to regurgitate the facts. And then the children will just simply listen to you for the first time. You may be teaching for the umpteen time, but these are new children listening to you for the first time this lesson. Oh, this Bible is just an old book for old days. Nothing useful for us because the teacher just told us a story without any proper application. And you have just done the greatest disservice to the children. Now they leave your class thinking that the Bible is just good for old people in the past, nothing to do with me in the future. Even when the Bible made it clear, this is a book that is ageless. It is able to help any culture, any country, any nationality throughout the ages. But because of our lack of preparation, because of our slothfulness, we fail the Lord, we fail the children. Perseverance. Teach every lesson as if it is your first lesson. First lesson, you pray without ceasing. You lean upon the Lord so much. You prepared so hard and so well. Treat every lesson, even though you may have been teaching it the umpteen time, as if it is the first. That's perseverance. So easy. I want to serve. Fine. How long? Elisha, you want to serve? How long? all the days of your life, or you're going to quit halfway because things are going to get tough. That's why Elijah tested him. Stay. No, I will go. He invoked the name of the Lord. As you liveth, as long as you are on earth, I will never leave you, because that's the master-disciple preparation. To be separated means goodbye. That's why he said it the way he did. As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, as long as you're alive on earth, I will never leave your side. And the 50 men of the sons of the prophets, verse 7, went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and the water divided hither thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. The last miracle that Elijah did was by water, when all his previous miracles by fire. Very significant. This was the test. And Elisha followed him. The 50 prophets on the other side of the Jordan stayed behind and watched across the River Jordan. The River Jordan, pretty wide. Not the River Jordan of today. The River Jordan of today is just like a drain, a canal. In those days, it was much wider. The reason why the River Jordan today is like a little drain is because they siphon a lot of the Sea of Galilee water at its flow down into both sides. The northern part of Israel, they have a big, big underground voluminous tank to store all their water in case there is war. And then on the other side, the Jordan side, they also siphon some portion of it so that the River Jordan, when it flows down, it's a trickle now. But in those days, it was huge. So this was a miracle where he smote with his mantle and the water just simply stopped flowing, and then they crossed on dry ground. And Elisha followed. And then, what do you want, Elisha, for your ministry? Now that you have perseverance, you are serious, you're not going to change your mind. Very good. And it came to pass when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, what do you want now? Okay, what do you want your ministry to be like? Right? Very important. The perseverance in Elisha, he passed that test. He is going to stick around, no matter what. Okay, he demonstrated that three times. Triple confirmation. And then he said, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Okay? And then Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Now, this is the head scratcher, isn't it? I mean, we use this a lot, we pray this a lot. May a double portion of Holy Spirit be upon this teacher, upon this pastor, upon this preacher. But what exactly does it mean? Double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So it's Elijah's spirit, right? It's not the Holy Spirit, okay? His spirit. But when we pray, we should pray double portion of the Holy Spirit. So actually it's thy spirit, not Holy Spirit, okay? Right? A double portion of Elijah's spirit be upon me. All right? So next time when you pray, may a double portion of God's spirit. The Lord says, heard your prayer. My child, do you know what you asked for? I don't know, Lord. You don't know what you asked for, then how am I going to give it to you? I mean, it's like a double portion of God's spirit. It's a double portion of Elijah's spirit, not God's Holy Spirit, right? So we all have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I think it should be better if we just simply, Lord, please fill this teacher, fill this preacher with thy Holy Spirit. That's, I think, more biblical, right? Fill them with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit will now fill them, lead them, guide them, help them as they teach, help them as they preach. Because now they stand on holy ground. Right? That's easy to understand. We all understand that. So now the Spirit is the one who is speaking, preaching through him. But this double portion of Elijah's spirit, let me give you the literal Hebrew translation. It will help. Okay? I wrote it down here in my Bible in red. Okay, I checked the Hebrew, and then I translated it literally. Okay? Of course, the King James cannot do that because it's very clumsy English. This is a holy Bible for Bible reading. When we translate for exegesis. So it can be very clumsy, but as long as it is readable, understandable, where all the emphasis in the Hebrew is restored, is there. That's how we teach the students in FEPC, in my class, when I ask them to translate the Hebrew. Translate it not for Bible reading. I want you to retain all the emphasis in the Hebrew sentence, the Hebrew verse. So that in English, when you read it, as you prepare your sermon, you know what the emphasis is in this verse. So translate it for exegesis, not for Bible reading. It can be clumsy, but it has to be readable. You don't translate until we don't even know what is happening. It's not readable. It has to be readable, where the emphasis is retained, but it's clumsy. You don't do that for Bible reading. So therefore, the King James, their goal is for Bible reading. So therefore, they cannot have any English sentence structure that is clumsy. Okay? So the literal is this. And I pray, let a mouth of two of your spirit be with me. Okay? And I pray, let a mouth of two of your spirit be with me. In other words, what comes out of your mouth, I want both of them. Okay? What was the ministry of the prophet? The courage to foretell, to scold. And the ability to foretell, tell the future. Elijah had them. So basically, he was asking for the ability to foretell and forthtell. That's the double portion of Elijah's spirit. You know, you need a lot of courage to see and stare the king in the face and rebuke him as is. That's what he wanted. I wanted to have the ministry of foretelling and forthtelling. And so when you read Elisha's life, you will be able to see that he has the ability to also tell the future, especially in the example of Naaman. You remember Naaman, the leper general from Syria, came to Elisha for healing of his leprosy. Elisha told him, he didn't even bother to meet up with him. Go and bathe yourself in the river Jordan 7 times and you're going to be healed. He got angry and insulted. Until one of his men said, you came all the way here. He asked you to do something simple. Why don't you do it? And remember his servant Gehazi, when he didn't want to have any money, anything from Naaman, the general. This man was greedy. He ran after Naaman with his donkey. And then he lied. And he got a reward, payment. And then on his way back, he hid. And then Elijah said, where did you go? Elisha already knew. And the leprosy that was from Naaman will now be on you. He wanted the same ministry as Elijah. In other words, the same degree of trouble. I don't mind the ministry of foretelling. You know, foretelling is nice, right? Wow, brilliant to tell the future, tell the future, tell the future. Especially when the future are all very good, you know. Of course, the future when it's bad is also pretty dangerous. Like Jeremiah. 70 years, all of you will be in exile. That's a terrible message. The false prophet said, no, 2 years you'll be in exile. Of course, you are a Jew listening to Jeremiah. 70 years, that means I will never see my father again. I'll never see my son again. But the false prophet said, oh no, don't worry, 2 years. Thus said the Lord, both of them coined, thus said the Lord. So now you are the Jew listening to prophet alone, Jeremiah, and then multiple prophets standing with the king. 2 years. Of course, our hearts say, I want 2 years because after that I can see my papa and my son again, right? And 2 years come and gone. No one returned. Now you found out that Jeremiah is the true prophet. This guy is false. But by then, your 2 years were miserable because it was filled with false hope. That was their life. But the ability to tell the future. But the foretelling, scold people. Oh yeah, that one's scary, right? Even till today. We are frightened. They're not. He asked for the same ministry, same as Elijah. The ability to foretell and foretell, which means you saw what Elijah encountered and experienced with this twofold ministry. You want the same? Yes. That's what he meant. Which is a good thing. And he wants to persevere to the end this time round. He asked for the right thing, in other words. In other words, he was very courageous. He could have just give me one ministry. Just maybe foretell. I don't want to have the ability to foretell. Because the foretelling may also come with the miracles. Which he did. He's known as the prophet of water. That's how Reverend Toh described him. And Elijah as the prophet of fire. But to have that ability means you're going to encounter a lot of resistance, a lot of enemies, and there will be many more like Jezebel and Ahab that will come after you. You sure you want this? When the Lord called me into ministry, you know that all I wanted was to be a pastor of a small, tiny little church. Somewhere that nobody knows. Just a quiet, normal, peaceful ministerial life. Actually, that was my heart's desire as I studied in FEBC, because I did not know where I was going to serve. That's all I wanted. A quiet, simple ministry. But then the Lord sent me to Pandan. I wanted to quit Pandan many times in the early years, especially during the period of time when Dr. Toh and I did not get along. Excuse me. Faced a lot of heartaches, a lot of resistance, so much so that I even wrote down my letter of resignation. But each time when I wanted to leave Pandan, the Lord won't allow me, literally. He won't allow me. And so the letter is still there in my computer with the date all there. And once in a while, I will look back at it and I read through it to go back and think what was in my heart and in my mind at that point in time. Not that I will leave the ministry, as mentioned earlier. Where God wants us to serve is just as important as being called into full-time ministry. Because if you are in a full-time ministry and you serve in a place that the Lord never intended for you to be, it can be disastrous. We know that too. But if this is where God wants you to be, and everywhere you go, there will be problems. And if you know that this is where God wants you to be, no matter what the problems are, you will never quit. And that's basically what some of the questions that are there designed for you to discuss. You'll never quit, no matter what. Because the Lord will sustain you. And through it, you will learn to draw closer to Him. You learn about yourself. And your faith and your trust in Him will be deepened and strengthened in the process. Step by step. So many different aspects of life and ministry. Perseverance and what you want. And where to serve the Lord. All these the Lord will show you. And that's why when Elijah asked Elisha, what do you want? He basically asked for a similar parallel ministry like Elijah, even after he had witnessed and seen the trials, the challenges, and the difficulties, including Elijah's desire to quit. He understood. He was very courageous, in other words. And so Elijah said to him, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. So you have to stick close to me. What you have asked for will be granted, even though it is difficult. That's why you see you have this ability. Elijah wanted the same kind of ability, whereby whatever they say is not just his own ideas, opinions, or words. You know, it come to pass, you know. And he wanted this. To literally be the very mouthpiece of God, whereby what he says has some prophetic power, because it's God's word. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder and split the two of them. They were always by their side since the day when Elijah put his mantle on Elisha. But now, finally, upon the day of graduation, where Elisha need not serve under the shadow of Elijah anymore, God split them apart, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Shoom, gone, on this chariot of fire. Now, don't say Elijah was raptured. He was not. He just did not experience death the way that we understand death, where a dead body is left behind. When the Lord brought him to heaven, his physical body was separated from his spirit, where only the spirit of Elijah is in heaven. Please understand this. This earthly body is only good for the earthly environment. It is not suitable for the heavenly environment. Know that the glorified body is suitable for both the heavenly and the earthly environment. Jesus Christ demonstrated that. But not the earthly body. So there will still be the separation of the earthly body and the spirit of Elijah, I beg your pardon. And then when he witnessed this, he knew he was given the double portion of Elijah's spirit. And Elisha saw it, and then he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof," one man army. After he studied and observed his life, he literally was a one-man army. And that was what Elisha wanted for himself as well. When Elijah asked him, "What do you want? What do you desire? Like you, courageous." And that's what all of us are supposed to be. That's why our concluding message, God willing, tonight is, do you know what it is called? We are all Elijah, taken from James this time. All of us are. The ability to foretell and forthtell as well. But bound by the word of God, we need to have both in order for us to be like Elijah, because that's exactly what Elisha requested, to be like you, my master. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes, rent it. That means the old Elisha, the disciple, is no more. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him. And then he went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he did the first miracle, which was the last miracle of Elijah, where he folded the mantle of Elijah and then smote the waters of the river Jordan. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they departed hither and thither, exactly as what Elijah did. This was God's stamp of approval to assure Elisha that you are now bestowed upon your heart and your life the same measure of ministry as my servant Elijah. Now you have it too. Be faithful to the very end. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." You see, a double portion. Ability to foretell and forthtell. And that's what we need today as well. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they thank God. Those who are on the side of the Lord, they will be delighted to have another Elijah. But those who hate Elijah will also hate Elisha. And they will try their best to stop the messenger, believing that by stopping the messenger, they thought they could stop the message as well. Which is foolishness, because the message is the Lord. This is just the messenger. But that will never change. They will never, the devil and his minions will never stop trying to stop you. But if the Lord has called you, you do not need to worry. The Lord has been preparing you. What he needs from you, like what he needed from Elisha, is obedience and submission. And he will train you and prepare you so that you can fulfill the will of God in your life. From the day he called you to the day where you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and meet Him face to face. And hopefully He will say to you, well done and welcome home, my good and faithful servant. All ministries, if the Lord tarries, need a successor. That is why the Bible tells us to pass it on to faithful men and women. Let us pray. Almighty God, our most merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our heart, O Lord, out of Thy holy word this morning, helping each and every one of us to look deep within our soul why You have saved us and left us behind on earth. And it is to do Thy holy will. Give to us, O Lord, the same heart like that of Elisha, a heart that perseveres from beginning to the end, a heart that understands the serious nature of fighting the good fight of faith and earnestly contend for the faith once delivered unto the saints. And like Elisha, may we also desire to have the twofold ministry of forth-telling when we see sin committed in front of our eyes. Grant to us discernment and courage to speak up with compassion with the heart of our Savior, and also the courage to foretell where the Word of God has told us and revealed to us the prophecies of the end of this world and the future of the new heaven and new earth. May this be a twofold ministry for all of us who are Your blood-bought children in every area of our lives. May Thou lead us, guide us, and fill us with Thy Holy Spirit, that we may continue to do Thy work and Thy will until the Lord's glorious return. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.